Well, I certainly do thank you, and for the many years of support and encouragement that this church has been to us. Some of you may know that our time goes back to, well, that museum that sits over there. The First Baptist Church, we were married there 41 years ago. Wow. Well, I think Alice was there, but I don't know if anybody else was or not. I don't think so. Isn't that wonderful? And the services that have been so exemplified over the years. Of course, I think of people like Virgil Reeves. There's a clipping on the back page of a write-up that was made in one of the, well, our mission has been written up in 6 different books. They're not books that I have written, but they are books or clips that people have asked me to be involved in. And there's one there in the back. My wife would have liked to have been here this morning, and she certainly wanted me to express that. She had to get up to Colonial Woods to get some tickets for the neighbor ladies wanting to hear G.G. Graham. When I think of Graham, of course, I think of Billy Graham. I even saw in your library this morning you have some of those books, but my first recollection of him was on the University of Michigan campus in 1963. Well, it was 1964. Some of you might know that my father was extension director for the University of Michigan, and that's what even moved us here into the Port Huron area. And then from there, we served the Lord, or I served the Lord overseas, starting the military youth ministries in France. That was 46 years ago. And that's where, of course, we learned the French language and learned what needed to be done. And those are ministries that even continue on today. And so they encouraged me at that time to go to Wheaton College. Some of you may know Billy Graham was the first full-time minister of Youth for Christ International. And of course, that's where he went to school, and I met many people then at that time and was influenced by many. Well, I think at the University of Michigan, Ken Pike, he was the one that started what we call SIL, Summer Institute of Linguistics, which of course is the Wycliffe translators, Bible translators, translating the scriptures into the languages of the thousands of people groups around the world. And they're still very active, certainly very active both in Burkina Faso and in Mali today. Some of you may know about Burkina Faso. You know we have the 8 radio stations there. And Etienne Kimde studied in France with us. And he was with us in October and November. And Jerry, of course, knows because Jerry and Betty were over helping with the container. I even have a picture of Jerry in the scrapbook back there. And you got to see that picture there, Jerry. But there's pictures in the scrapbooks back there of the ministry things of this past year. Some of you will maybe recognize Hollis and Murray Chandler. They'll be on the team again with us here in a month. And some of you may know Diana Taylor. Diana, of course, is our secretary. She was also on the team. Some of you may know Susan Sofa. Susan Sofa is one of our board members, along with Jerry and Betty and Ron. And she, of course, was one of the nurses who was on the team a year ago, January. And some of you asked about the container. Thank you very much. I see it's still on the prayer sheet. Well, I can also say that because of the prayers of God's people, the container was put on the train Wednesday of this past week and was put on the boat yesterday. So it took us 6 weeks, and I say it was not our doing, it was the government. You know, going into the Muslim world where terrorism is even taught in the Quran, people don't know that or don't even broadcast that in this part of the world. They are checking and continually checking to see, especially when you have technical equipment. And we had about $35,000 worth of radio equipment to update the 8 radio stations. Some of you may have seen on the news the overthrow of the government in Niger. Niger, of course, is the country that is to the east of Burkina Faso. And the radio station, the most recent radio station there in Fada, broadcasts even into Niger. Of course, we have all heard about the terrorists coming out on the plane in Detroit. That was from Niger, yeah. That was the country to the south of Niger. And so this container actually is to be arriving in Togo, Lomé, Togo, the capital. That's a coastal country running north and south and bordering on Burkina. And that arrives, Lord willing, on the 17th of March. It's very difficult. I was even with one of the African guys last night, and I was explaining to him how those things had to work. We have seen many, many things on the media. Did anybody see the Secretary of State's address at the presidential prayer breakfast? Did anybody see the replay of that? Well, I even heard comments this morning in our Sunday school class about, well, the sinful practices of America. And here is an example of a lady, certainly, former president's wife, who was raised in the church in America, in the Methodist Church, that historically, of course, the followers of John Wesley, very firmly committed to the scriptural teachings. And she, in the presidential prayer breakfast, endorsing homosexuality, which is now being even put into the laws in different states in the United States. And people don't realize, even I read an editorial in the Times Herald that certainly directed our attention to that issue. And one of the comments was, there was no place in the Word of God that spoke against homosexuality. I heard quoted this morning Romans chapter 1. Well, you know verse 16, right? Who can quote verse 16? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To everyone who believes. And that, of course, is God's thrust. Historically, it was the Jewish people and then the non-Jewish or Gentile people. But are people without excuse? Well, it says in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And then what happened in verse 21? For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. Who is the God who is really there? I heard Hillary Clinton say that all religions are the same in her address. Oh my. Did you see the address of the famous golf player? And you heard him talk about Buddhism? and following those practices? Well, they didn't glorify him as God and they didn't give him thanks, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Now, if you go into Haiti, because you've certainly seen that enough on the media, and if you know where those people came from, West Africa, where we work, you'll certainly understand that those people historically have followed voodoo and witchcraft and all those pagan ways which are talked about here as substitutions from the real biblical God. And of course, that's what we continually deal with in West Africa with the people who haven't yet found the Lord. They just make up their own images and make up their own whatever. And in America, of course, we talked about this morning in our class, the love of the flesh, the love of the eyes, you know, all this kind of materialism stuff that we have in America. It's the substitution of other stuff for what? The God that is to be the ideal and only one worshiped as truth. And what I continually communicate with our people in West Africa, he is the God of love and forgiveness. And particularly I use those words because it's the Muslim world. And honestly, I wish they did have the God of love and forgiveness. But they don't. And we thank the Lord that we see many coming to the Lord. Please pray for the safe arrival of the container now. Because when we started working in Burkina Faso 22 years ago, there were 5% of the people in the country that considered as evangelical Christians. And today there are, I've heard statistics, any place from 30 to 40% of the people who are evangelical Christians. And most of them, like Etienne, well, his real name, he was given Etienne Moussa, but Moussa in his people group means Muhammad. It's a Muslim name because that's how what his parents named him, being raised, of course, in that culture. So what did God do? Because people rejected him. Verse 24 says, therefore God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Because of this, look at it now. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even the women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Now it goes on to explain how that people, they became slanderers and God-haters and envious, and they were disobedient to parents, and they were senseless, and they were faithless and heartless. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continued to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And I use that example of the former president's wife, because that is very much today, unfortunately, a part of the media and a part of the cultural thinking in our country. And we ask why. What are the questions that are being asked, and why? What are people living for, and what is the pressures in America? I hear all these things about jobs. We all know that in this state we are what, the worst off in the country as far as unemployment. But I also look at those people, particularly those parts of the state even, where the Reformation people rediscovered the truth of Romans. Who were those people? Well, certainly John Calvin. He was the Frenchman that left France because they were being persecuted and killed off. There's one of the brochures there on the table that speaks of that. They were called the Huguenot people. And then at the same time, one of the contemporaries in Germany, that was Martin Luther. And one of the men who studied under John Calvin was John Knox. And of course, Knox started the Presbyterian Church. I heard that spoken of this morning in the Sunday school class. And I understand that many today in those groups have elevated their traditions to be more important than God's truth. And I understand continually, like we have seen in Haiti, that many times there is devastation that has to happen for a wake-up call to be given. And you can study this out in great detail biblically, but what does it take to wake people up and turn them back to the truth? Well, even in the Old Testament, this was a struggle. Take your Bibles and flip back to the Gospels, Habakkuk. Habakkuk, of course, was one of what we call the minor prophets. And he continually complained because he was seeing what was happening to his country at that time. This is Habakkuk. In the first chapter, you'll see in verse 3, destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict. Justice is perverted. Now he's complaining, of course. And what is the Lord's answer in verse 5? Verse 5 says, look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe. What did he do? You know who the Babylonians were? Well, that's present-day Iraq. And you know what we're doing in Iraq today. And what did these Iraqis, historically, you're going, how many thousands of years ago, they were just about ready to invade. They were called ruthless and impetuous people who swept across the whole earth. I wish that we were historically and certainly as a body of Christ and church in North America and other places in the world, that we were making those Muslim countries our priority. I can say that we are making Mali and Burkina Faso priority countries. And I can say that even like Mali has been written up in the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune and so forth, why is it that this country of the 46 Muslim countries, now they're asking this in the press, is today considered as a true democracy? But honestly, I can tell you that in the northern part of the country, most people don't even know where Timbuktu is, but Timbuktu was the, let's say, the trading capital for all West Africa back over 600 years ago even, before Islam moved into that part of the world. Islam was 600 years after Christ. And at one time, I can tell you, North Africa was an evangelized part of the world. Have you ever been to Florida, to St. Augustine? St. Augustine, Florida? You ever see the old town there? You ever see the cemetery there? It's even labeled as a Huguenot cemetery. Why? Because they were the French Calvinist Huguenot people who settled there initially. And you see, John Calvin got his Bible teaching, Augustine wrote 95 some books. Of course, they were scrolls. And Calvin reading his books, that was one of the reasons that helped him to rediscover the biblical truth. Isn't that interesting? Well, Augustine was out of North Africa. Sometimes we forget. I tell my friends in Africa, well, Jesus lived in Africa. He never lived in America. Jesus never lived in Europe. Because I'm trying to show them what happened and what they became historically because they forgot the biblical God who even came, as the Bible says, in the flesh. He was before all things, and by him all things consist. And he became the head of the body of Christ. He was in the world knew him not. But as many as knew him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. And I often think of that little verse, believe on his name. Why did they call his name Jesus? You remember the promise given? And they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins. So we must certainly bring our world back to the biblical God. Now Habakkuk continues to complain. Go back now, let's say, to verse 13. He's complaining to God. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. He's telling God how he should be. Isn't that foolish? We see a lot of that, don't we? Lord, you say this, you should do this, you should... No, wait. Not my will, but thine be done. What does it mean when we pray the Lord's Prayer? In Jesus' name, that hopefully means to us that, Lord, I don't know everything. I don't have control of everything. It's not me. It's you that we want to glorify. To God be the glory. Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. Now this is, of course, Habakkuk complaining. The wicked foe pull all of them up with hooks. He catches them in the net. He gathers them up in the dragon, and on and on and on. He, meaning the wicked. What is the Lord's answers? Flip over into chapter 2. The Lord says, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 3, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. I made a little note years ago. It's not over yet. That was an encouragement. And then I look at verse 4, three times quoted in the New Testament. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. I just quoted Romans 1:16. The righteous will live by his faith. What is that faith? That's humble, steadfast reliance on God's word. What are you going to rely on? At least, hopefully, we can admit that we have no control over the things that are going on, but people who know God will certainly live properly. What is mankind? Well, he's just greedy. Says in verse 5, like death is
never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Oh yeah, that's what they're doing. That's what they did. But what is the heart of God? Oh my, the heart of God is for missions. Look what it says in verse 13 and 14. The nations, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's God's glory. That's the universal gospel. That's what we want to see happen. You come down to the conclusion of the Lord's answers here, and it was a little song that I learned when I was in high school in verse 30. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent. Be silent before him. Oh, all the earth be silent before him. That's what Jesus, God's word says, our Lord says. And then in chapter 3, you have this wonderful, I call it a song, a psalm. And so all of a sudden Habakkuk starts getting the answer and he starts praising. He starts giving his prayers. Just read the prayer of Habakkuk. Look in chapter 3. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day and in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Termah, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashing from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. Oh, I saw the tents. Oh, and then he starts asking questions. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Says in verse 8. Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow, you called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers, and the mountains saw you, and torrent and of water swept by the deep roar and lifted up waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you stood through the earth. In anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. We can just thank the Lord that we have been saved. We can just thank the Lord that his wrath, even though struck on the earth, we as God's people have been delivered. And he concludes this song, this praise, this worship, going down even into like verse 18. This is what this prophet says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Well, I don't know what music we have that goes with this prayer, but that was even a music song, Jerry. And look at all he says. Look at what Habakkuk found with the conditions that were even all around him in his day.
And honestly, these are conditions that we should expect. What does it take people to wake up? And even many times I am quoting to our brothers and sisters in West Africa that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Because many here in America have told them quite the contrary, that somehow if they come to Christ, they will have health and wealth. And here the Lord himself says to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So why is all this financial crisis going on in our state? Why have people made commitments that they couldn't keep? And why are even the banks in trouble? And I know a lot of the people in Port Huron. Even the former president at Citizens was one of our former board members. He's passed away now, but that was Larry Moeller. You probably saw in the paper his brother. They didn't say this in the paper that his Brian was one of the guys that even made his dedication commitment to the Lord through our ministry. But he was the one who, as a city commissioner in Port Huron, determined that they should give money to the bank. I don't know if they give it or lend it or however they do, but that's what you saw. I don't know, millions of dollars. I mean, even those figures blow my mind. Oh, why are we in trouble? We can say it's sin. And why is it going to continue? Well, you know what the fruit is? You know what the fruit of the Spirit is too, don't you? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, that's temperance. I wish that every renter that I'd ever had there at the office had kept their promise, and I wouldn't have had to take them to court to have them evicted. But they say they're going to pay their rent, and then they don't. What happens when people make commitments and don't keep them? It's easy to say you're going to be a Christian, but are you going to pay the price of being a Christian in serving the Lord, even as the Lord's Prayer tells us to do? Who wants to quote the Lord's Prayer as termination for our time together? Yes. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord's kingdom and power and glory forever and ever.
And let us always remember that. God bless you, and thank you very much.